Let's turn tonight to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And I want to share this passage of Scripture. We want to begin reading with verse 14. And I want to kind of present it in a little different way as we're thinking about faith. There is so much when it comes to faith. And so before we read, it just came to my mind, and I'll also announce it Sunday, but for those that are watching online and for those of you that are here, I want to make mention that Pastor has written a book. And so, now what did you say the title was? All right, from lumps of coal to nuggets of gold. And so are you done with it? Is it actually out in publication? Okay, so he'll be having this book very soon. And so if you would like to receive one of those, then get with him and figure out how all that works. But I know that it'll be a good book, and so... be sure, and if you're watching online, send a note to Sister Lisa, and as far as letting her know how to get in touch with him. But anyway, I thought I'd make mention about that, and so we'll, as I get a little bit more information, then I'll announce it Sunday. But I know that that it'll be a good read for you, and so anyway, I thought I'd make mention that. So the title of this message is Feeble Faith Meets Jesus. Feeble Faith Meets Jesus. Now, I think, and I'm not speaking for everyone, but I think that there has been times in our life that we struggle with faith. And, you know, there's a lot of different areas and there's a lot of different ways that we can struggle with our faith. The first thing that that comes to my mind about struggling with faith is when we're under a certain amount of pressure and we say to ourselves or maybe someone that we're close to, and you might say something like, I'm not sure how much more I can take. And so that's one way that we might struggle, because we pray, but it seems like our prayers aren't answered in the way that we pray them or in what we feel like the Lord needs to do. That's one way that we struggle with our faith. And then sometimes we struggle with our faith when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. Maybe we're not as close as we were. And so we might struggle with our faith. And then sometimes we struggle with our faith because of all the things that's happening around us when we're watching others struggle. And then, then we struggle. So, you know, there's a lot of different avenues that we might take when it comes to our faith and the strength of our faith. And I hope that as we go through things in life, I hope that we could say that our faith is strengthened when the Lord helps us through a situation. But we're all subject to struggling faith. And so in this passage of Scripture, we actually was in this passage in May of last year. It was just kind of presented in a little different way. But I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. And there was some struggles with faith. And so there's a lot of things that's happening in this passage. There's a lot of things that's taking place. When it comes to the disciples were struggling, The man that was requesting help was struggling. The scribes were questioning. And so throughout this whole passage, there is some struggles with faith. And so that's the reason we titled it this way, that feeble faith meets Jesus. And so let's begin reading with verse 14. And try to, as I read this and as you read along, try to pick out some areas that maybe you could see someone is struggling. Someone is struggling with their faith. And so verse 14 says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they were beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?'" And I'm sure the, I was thinking about it. I'm sure the disciples breathed a sigh of relief when Jesus came on the scene. And so as the scribes were questioning the disciples, now Jesus is questioning them. So I'm sure that there was kind of a sigh of relief when it come to the disciples when Jesus came on the scene. And so the answer here in verse 17 was, "And one of the multitude answered him, saying, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son who hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pitieth away, and spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not.'" So sometimes, and I'm going to make a couple of comments in our reading, but sometimes when we pray about something, or when we ask the Lord for something, and he doesn't answer it, then sometimes we might say, "Well, I wonder if the Lord heard me. Or I wonder why he's not answering this. Or I wonder," it was almost kind of like they were saying the disciples, "We came to disciples and they couldn't cast him out. They couldn't do nothing with him." And so in verse 19, he says, "And answereth him and saith, 'O faithful, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.'" And so here he's talking about the faithless generation. "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit teareth him, and he fell on the ground and wallered foaming. And he asked his father, 'How long is it ago since this came unto him?' And he said, 'Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on him and help us.'" So here he's asking for help. "And Jesus said unto him, 'If thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth.' And straightway the father of the child crieth out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.' Now all this was taking place amongst the crowd of people and amongst all that was there. And so now the gentleman is saying, 'Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, 'Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him.' And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And he said unto him, 'This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting.'" So there's a lot of things that's taking place in this passage of Scripture. But the most important thing that I want us to see tonight, if we don't see anything else, is no matter what's going on, no matter who's around, no matter what's happening, no matter what circumstance or what trial or what difficulty, just as they were having difficulty, the most important thing is that Jesus was in the middle of it. Jesus was in the middle. And He needs to be in the middle of our life no matter what's going on. Whether we're struggling with our faith, whether we're watching others, whether we're having difficulty, if we're like the man that says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And then we had the disciples asking Him, Lord, you know, why couldn't we cast him out? You know, the most important thing is every person, even the scribes, but every person that was in the scenes was where they needed to be to see Jesus. And so even with feebling faith or faith that's feeble, the most important thing is that we meet Jesus. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our time together, and thank you for this passage. Lord, just reading it speaks to our hearts. Just seeing it. And as we visualize it in our mind, all the things that's taking place, we think of the multitude that's running to Him. We think of the man whose faith was struggling. We think of the one that was healed. We think of the disciples that were struggling with their faith and questioning why couldn't they do certain things. And we even think about the scribes who really never really did open their eyes to what Jesus could do in their life. But most importantly, Lord, I pray that you will be in the center of our life, even amongst our struggles, even amongst our difficulties, even in amongst of the trials that we have in our life, and even if our faith seems to struggle. Help us to realize that you need to be in the middle. And when you're in the middle, and when you're in the middle of our life, great things happen. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight. Help me, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had a time in your life that you feel like that you failed? That things, you know, you set out to do something, you had good intentions, you had, you went to the right place, you thought, and yet you feel like you failed. I'm not so sure in reading this passage when the Father came to Jesus and said, you know, I did what I was supposed to do, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing it, and the disciples couldn't cast out this spirit, this couldn't heal. And it actually says it in verse 18 that I spake with thy disciples and they could not cast him out. They could not. And so I'm sure that the disciples felt like there was some failure. I wonder too if maybe the Father felt like there was some failure with him. Because he did what he felt like he should do. He went to the disciples and nothing happened. And so maybe he himself, when he was speaking to Jesus, maybe he himself felt like that I failed. And of course the scribes, I don't know that there was necessarily any failure there. Because they were always questioning Jesus anyway, and they was always questioning his authority and who he was. So I'm not so sure there was much failure there, because if I could say they failed at anything, they really failed at seeing who Jesus was. And they failed at who Jesus was and the fact that he was Jesus, the promised one. And so, but times in our life that we're going to fail, or, you know, we're going to feel like that we failed. We pray, and it seems like nothing happens. I've heard this statement made. I hadn't heard it in a while, but I've heard this statement being made, and a statement would be something like this: I've prayed, but I don't feel like it went past the ceiling. or something of that nature. And so sometimes we struggle, and sometimes we struggle with failure. And so I think in this passage of Scripture, there was some folks that were struggling with failure. And so when we struggle with failure, then what is one thing that is affected by our failure, or by what we think is our failure? And that is our faith. Because we had faith to ask, or we had faith, you know, this man who brought the son, this man who brought this individual that had this spirit, you know, he had faith to bring, but yet nothing happened until Jesus came on the scene. And I've actually already mentioned that no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what trials we're having, no matter what difficulties we're having, no matter what situation we have in our life, we need to keep Jesus in the middle. Because sometimes we're going to struggle with our faith. And that's the reason we've titled this message, Feeble Faith Meets Jesus. Because there's going to be times in our life that our faith will be feeble. So we see the difficulty here, and we're going to kind of zero in now on this situation. And in verse 17 it says, "And one of the multitude answered him when Jesus asked the question, Master, we have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and you know, he teareth him, he foams at the mouth, he gnashed his teeth, he's struggling with this spirit, this that was in him. He was struggling. So we see the difficulty here. We see the situation. And so the father may have thought that the answer was the disciples, that they were the answer. But I'll tell you tonight that man is not the answer, but Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Because man, every man living is subject to falling short. They're going to fall short of our expectations. They're going to fall short in their abilities. They're going to fall short, and even though they may mean well, they're going to fall short. But I promise you tonight, based upon not my word, but based upon the word of God, Jesus will never fail. He will never fail. So the father may have thought the answer lied with the disciples. Yet they could do nothing. Our hope doesn't lie in man's hands. Our security doesn't lie in man's hands. Our future does not lie in man's hands. It's not about man, but it's about Jesus. The father must have thought things were now hopeless. He did what he was supposed to do. He went to the disciples. He was seeking. He was seeking help for this individual. And we see the difficulty. Now, there's going to be some that zeroes in on why did it happen? You know, when tragedy strikes, there might be an investigation as to why something happened. And I guess rightfully so, in some ways that's good to keep it from happening again. But the answer is not in the condition, but the answer is in what happened when Jesus came on the scene. So there might be some that said, you know, why, how did he get this way? You know, there might be some that might say this is kind of a mysterious situation, or or this is terrifying, or, you know, there's violence here because of what he was doing. There's some violence here, and there's some sudden attacks that it just happens. Well, no matter what caused it, no matter what, you know, happened to cause him to be this way, there might even be some that say, well, this individual's life is going to be destroyed. But verse 19 says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. That is the answer. Not how a person gets this way, but who to bring him to. There are individuals that are struggling right now, and there's individuals, and you've heard this and I've heard this, that when somebody goes down the wrong road and the wrong path of life, then they're always saying, well, this happened because of this. Or maybe, you know, they'll say, well, this individual wasn't raised right, or this individual wasn't this, and this individual wasn't that. When in reality, it's not how they got in that condition, but it's what you do when the person is in the condition. And that is none other than bring them to Jesus. That is the answer. They bring him to Jesus. So now when he's brought to Jesus, now he's in the Lord's hands. And that's important for us to realize. He's now in the Lord's hands. Jesus said, and when he saw him, this individual, when he saw him, and when Jesus, you know, said, bring him here, so look what happens in verse 20. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit teareth him, and he fell down to the ground, and he wallowed foaming. So even when you bring someone to Jesus, then there may be some things happen, and it's almost like someone fighting against what Jesus can do. Now, if you've ever witnessed to someone and you've ever talked to someone about the Lord, there might be a time that an individual says, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about the gospel. I don't want to hear about what Jesus did. I don't want to hear any of those things. Well, that's kind of how I see this happening, is when they brought him to Jesus, and when he saw him, then this spirit, they fell down and to the ground and wallowed foaming. But Jesus continued. Jesus continued working. In verse 21, it says, and how long ago since he came unto him? And the father said, since a child. So this situation had been as a child. And so it's almost like when you bring someone to Jesus in prayer, and you're praying for an individual, it may seem like things are getting worse. That they continue to go down this road, that things are getting worse. And we see that in verse 20, things are getting worse. But there's also a discovery that takes place. Because Jesus never left. You know, Jesus never left. Jesus was right there the whole time. And that's why I say keep Christ, keep Jesus at the center of everything that's going on in your life. Because Jesus could have just spoke or touched, as we see in the scripture of him doing, and him be healed. But there's a time period here. There's a time period before Jesus heals him. And so we call this one the tearful discovery. In verse 22 says, and oftentimes I have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. We always have to keep sight of, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need him to help us. If thou canst do anything, help us. Talking to the Lord. talking to the Lord. Lord, I need your help. And then Jesus says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the response is, let me just kind of put it this way. When he says, help us, it's almost like he's saying, help my child. Help my child. We should always, no matter how young or how old, we should always pray for our children and grandchildren because of the things that they face. Help my child. If thou canst believe. And so the man's request was, help my child. And then his request was, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. That's where I believe that sometimes we struggle sometimes with our faith. And sometimes our faith, based upon the circumstances, based upon the situation, we carry a heavy load. We carry a heavy burden. And our faith becomes weak. When the floodwaters, if you watched any of the news and watched some of the things that took place in western part of North Carolina, when the floodwaters came so quickly, there was some areas that they were concerned about the dam breaking. And they was trying to do everything that they could to keep the dam from breaking. Some they probably had to let some water out, knowing that there was going to be some areas that got destroyed. But the important thing is that the dam not break. Well, sometimes in life, and you know what I'm talking about, but sometimes in life, the struggles that we face come like floodwaters. And they happen quickly. They happen almost like overnight. And the pressure becomes great. The pressure becomes overwhelming. Almost to the point to where you would think, Lord, I'm tired. I feel like giving up. But let me challenge you tonight is, don't give up. Because who is Jesus? Who has the power to change things? Who has the power to make a difference? You see, unbelief robs God of His glory. Unbelief robs God of His glory when it comes to us. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The man let it all go and said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. He got to a place in his life that he said, and I'm paraphrasing, only Jesus. Only Jesus can do this. He confessed to the Lord and said, help thou mine unbelief. That's when feeble faith meets Jesus. That's when feeble faith. He just put everything in God's hands. And Jesus answered the cry in verse 27. The Bible says, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. But let me remind you that, and we don't know what the time period was in this, but there was a short time period. Maybe it was 30 minutes, maybe it was 15. I don't know how long the time period was, but there was a lot of questioning that was taking place. There was a time period from the time that he asked for help, and Jesus saw him to the time Jesus reached down and took his hand and lifted him up. And so there may be a time period that when we pray and when we ask the Lord to help in a situation, that we just simply, and this is hard for us, be patient. The Lord's still there. The Lord's on the scene. And one of the hardest things for me as an individual, and one of the hardest things probably for you too, is to be patient. To be patient. But man can't fix things. The disciples couldn't fix it. But Jesus was the one that fixed it. And I'll close with this portion. And I want to go back to the disciples just for a moment. In verse 28, the disciples asked him, privately asked him, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we do this? And Jesus simply said this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Getting alone with Jesus. Making him, you know, sometimes when we pray, have you ever been praying or reading and having your time alone with the Lord and all of a sudden your phone rings? Or maybe you get a text, or maybe you get interrupted in some way. Well, when I think of this passage of Scripture where he says, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting, that is zeroing in without distractions on Jesus. I can give you testimony, and I won't take time to talk about it tonight, but I can give you testimony of things that I felt led to pray about, and I fasted, and I did without, and I fasted, and I prayed, and the Lord answered those prayers. It didn't happen overnight. One of the things that I prayed about, that I constantly fasted and prayed, it took 24 days. And I finally said, okay, Lord, you're not answering this prayer, but I trust you. And I believe whatever you have for me, as I was praying this prayer, whatever you have for me, then I'm going to accept. And within a few hours, I got a phone call. And what I had been praying about was gone. Feeble faith meets Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, help us as we too sometimes struggle with our faith. But the most important thing that my desire is tonight is that individuals doesn't look at me, but they look at Jesus. Because we're going to fail. We're going to fall short. We're going to make mistakes. But you never will. So help us, Lord, to focus on you as this man. Lord, help mine unbelief. But he said the words, I believe first. So, Father, I pray that you'll take this message and may it speak to hearts and apply it to our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.